Shayangratitam Utgratayanti Santa
Parama Shayangratitam
Yamatayo, Yatayo, Pirutta. Tamananan Bhajavasudeva
Shrotoganastamananan Bhajavasudeva
Yadparaparnavamba Lashavilasabhaktya
Yadparaparnavamba
Amashayam Gratitam Udgratayan Tisanta
Dharma Shayam Yatita Ugratayam Tisanta
Atman Narikita Matayo Yatayo Pirutta
Dharma Narikita Matayo Yatayo Pirutta
Oto Ganasta Maranam Bhajavasudeva
Yadhara bhangra jabalasa vikasa bhaktya
Shrotoganastamarunam Bhajavasudevam
Shrotoganastamarunam Bhajavasudevam
Yadpadapankajapalashavilasabhaktya Armashayam grahitam udgrathayanti santa
My devotional service.
Dharma.
Dharma. root of activities.
Asayam. Asayam.
Desire.
Gratitam.
Heart.
Food
gratayanti.
Root out.
Santana. Persons devoid of devotional service. Yatayaha. Ever increasing the trying.
Happy.
Even though.
Buddha.
Stop.
Shrotagana.
Waves of sense enjoyment.
The waves of sense enjoyment.
Worthy to take shelter.
Raja.
Engaged in devotional service. Vasudevam.
Vasudevam.
Unto Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Dear Prashanta has offered to us the service to project the text. So if you would like to read it, it is much easier for comprehension to read the text. Otherwise, it's sometimes in one ear and out of the other, and nothing stays in the brain scheme. So this makes it easier. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes, of the lotus feet of the Lord, can very easily overcome hard-hearted desires for fruitive activities. In simple language, this means if you are engaged in service, you can give up easily your desires for sense gratification. And the government continues. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, can't do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So, Srila Prabhupada starts his purport by telling us about the three transcendentalists who try to become free from Maya. And he points out that there is a difficulty with which they have to fight. There are three kinds of transcendentalists trying to overcome the influence of the modes of material nature. The jnanis, yogis, and Serbian bhaktas.
Bhaktas.
All of them attempt to overcome the influence of the senses, which is compared to the incessant waves of a river. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and it is very difficult to stop them. Similarly, the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong that they cannot be stopped by any process other than bhakti yoga. The bhaktas, by their transcendental devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, become so overwhelmed with ananda, with transcendental bliss, that automatically their desires for material enjoyment stop. The jnanis and yogis who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord simply struggle against the waves of desire. They are described in this verse as the rikta mataya, which means devoid of devotional service. In other words, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to be free from the desires of material activities, actually become more and more entangled in false philosophical speculation or strenuous attempts to stop the activities of the Lord. As stated previously, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Yana Yatya Shubhaya Yam Yana Chayatayam You're also the same point of stress. Ajna Vasudeva indicates that one who is engaged in the loving service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, can very easily stop the waves of desires. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. I think devotees know this. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, you might have had a desire to smoke. It was very strong maybe, and then you came to the devotee, the service of the Lord, the association of devotees, and from one day to the other you could give up smoking. Have some of you made that type of experience? Some have made, yes, I know that is. Or I was so attached personally to listening to the Doors or drinking two bottles of whiskey, but it stopped when I came into the temple. It was very easy. There was no need. To try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the Supreme in order not to be entangled in inferior desires. Jnanis maintain a desire to become one with the Supreme, but such desires are also considered to be karma or lust. Similarly, the yogis desire mystic powers, and that is also karma, lust. No? And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There is no artificial attempt to stop desire. Desire becomes the source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. Wow, this is a difficult sentence. Let us hear it there. The desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment. You actually enjoy if you have a desire, if that takes place under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. It is stated herein by the Kumaras that the lotus feet of Lord Krishna are the ultimate reservoir of all pleasure. One should, therefore, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desire for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. So up till now, Prabhupada has made the point that yogis, jnanis, and also bhaktas have the same challenge, that is to overcome material desires which lead to entanglement. So he has stated that by the bhakti process, where you engage your desires in Krishna's service, you become free of them. I had such a desire. I was very much impressed by the modern music culture at my time, so that's when I was old, and I also wanted to sing and dance before 10,000 people minimum. That was a desire. And to just enjoy the rawness of emotions, of pleasure and joy and energy and all this. And then I thought, well, I'm anyways not very talented, but let me try this and engage it in the service of the Lord. So we made Gauranga Bhajan group. We had audiences of 30,000 people dancing and chanting. We were criticized like anything by the conservative section of our society because they couldn't understand this is the language of their own counterculture from which they came. They saw what we were doing. Intelligent devotees, very good-hearted also. And we became free. Now I don't need any longer. No need. Let us engaging a desire in Krishna's service, and then Krishna takes it and purifies it, and then you desire Krishna. It maybe now Prabhupada brings an argument. He has made his proposition now he will attack his own point. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing. That means it does not stop. And that they cannot be stopped. But the waves of the river flow towards the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Prabhupada is just so practical. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. Now, Prabhupada gives an example that because most of you are city boys and city girls, this example does not really say much to you. What he wants to say is, if there is such a huge body of desire with which you connect spiritual desires in the service of Krishna, it overfloods the constantly flowing river of desires that come from your heart. When I was a little child, I lived in Hamburg. Who of you knows Hamburg? You have also visited Maharaj? Oh, you have. Hamburg is a harbor town, like Split, but there is in Split we also have a river. But in Hamburg, one of the three big rivers of Germany, you call it, I only know the English, the German word, the Elbe, not Rhine, Elbe, comes after flowing through the whole of Germany. It's a huge river now. It comes into the town of Hamburg, and it flows through the town, and then it goes into the ocean. And there something very interesting happens. Two types of water start to fight with each other. The river water from Elbe and the ocean water, which is flooding. It comes just into the town. So my teacher, Mr. Janssen, took us when we were little boys in a little boat, it's called a Barkasse, if you want to know the details, down the river Elbe to that point where the Elbe was flowing into the North Sea. It's called the Northern Sea, the North Sea. And it was just flooding, and you know, here was the river from the Elbe, and here was the river, was the flood from the North Sea. Who do we think was winning? North Sea. There's more water inside the North Sea. So here come your material desires. Oh, sense enjoyment. Oh, I want to have a good position that everyone is appreciating me more, and so on. Here come the material desires from your heart, and now you come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and there's a whole ocean, a whole world, a whole universe. Oh, you can desire to chant purely, you can desire to be with Krishna. Ultimately, Prabhupada says such things like dance with Krishna, that must be something. You can actually desire to spread the movement, nothing is impossible. All of a sudden, you can make plans, to wild plans, you know, to make Afghanistan Krishna conscious. Why not? You know, you can try, and there is some attempt, there will be some empowerment. And in this way, your material desires, which are flowing like the river Elbe in Prabhupada's in this analogy, when it meets the world of Krishna consciousness and you understand what it is and you allow yourself to become induced by it, they meet, the there's a little fight. Should I go to the kirtan or should I eat a pizza and ice cream? You know, there's a little fight when they meet. But if you have the choice, and if you learn to slowly more and more take to this new world of desires, the new Krishna conscious world, the particular desires will go. Finish! That's the solution. That's the example. And I thought, because I'm an ocean boy, I can tell this. There's a glorious example. We saw as a child, we were there standing, Mr. Jensen was telling us, see, two waters fighting, who will win? And I was so enthusiastic, Mr. Jensen had to stop me because I wanted to jump into the ocean and swim at that time. But he said, that's not appropriate, you will drown. We were as little children, very impressed by this. We can never forget. And when I read this in Prabhupada's book, I thought, it's a practical suggestion. So, now Prabhupada has made a point. Now, true to a Vedic scholar, he will confirm his point from the tradition. As confirmed by Yamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord. So much so that the stagnant desires, stagnant means like boring, don't stagnant, old, you know, uninteresting, not moving. Thank you, not moving. So much so that the stagnant desire, it's the opposite to ecstasy, not moving. So much so, listen to this, this is intense. I will say it again because we got lost here. As confirmed by Yamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there's always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord. So much so that the stagnant desire for sex life becomes very insignificant. The word in Sanskrit is tucha. My mosquito, you know, who cares? For what you say, my dear mosquito, we want to hear the Bhagavad. Yamunacharya even says that he spits on such desires. I remember having heard the Prabhupada was once talking about this, and he was so much into it that he spat out, and the best of all devotees jumped forward and catched the enthusiasm of Prabhupada. Yamunacharya even says that he spits on such desires. Bhagavad Gita also confirms, Param drishvani vatate, if you experience a higher taste, lower taste can be given up. That conclusion, now if you forget everything, now listen to the conclusion, please. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue, means we overcome all material desires for sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is a practical suggestion. Namo, please say. Namo
Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Vishaya Udale, Shrimate Vandirananda, Swami Vinamine. Shri Krishna Chaitanya.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yat parapasa vilasa Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya.
Let us say, continue.
Karma shayam gratitam gratayam disanda. Karma narita matayo yatayo virunda.
Translation. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard knot desires for fruitive activities, means sense gratification. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. I pray to my senior god. I request my senior god brothers to bless me, that I will be able to talk something which can really help you in advancing Krishna consciousness. And I request all of you, I am a man who has an important message for you. It is as important as, you know, imagine I would stand here and say, I can tell you how to make €1 million. You just listen. You would definitely listen, because we are poor in Serbia. This is an economic crisis and we need a little help. I have something more valuable than €1 million today for you. And I have something for which can help us to really taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness based on the scriptures. It's all right. I will pick it up later. I can't pin it down, unfortunately. So, do you also sometimes have material desires? And do you experience how they pull you away from spiritual life? Do you have this experience? And do you sometimes wish, oh, it would be so nice if this wouldn't be there, but it is there? Have you seen this? All the devotees also have it. They can suppress for some time. It does come. And it can create a disturbance. It is a big problem. It's not a small problem. And do you sometimes pray to the Lord, oh my Lord, I wish I would be blessed with the opposite of material desires, this enthusiasm to serve you, this great eagerness in Krishna consciousness. Do you sometimes, is this there or is this an unrelevant subject? I think we all know. We know this is yes. What? And there is no need to, no benefit to condemn devotees. Now, I know there was one devotee, he came here to the summer camp to do something wonderful, but in the midst of the summer camp, the attachment to, I will not say what it is, became so strong that he had to leave the summer camp. I don't want to say, because then you know who the devotee is, and maybe you would start to talk bad about him, and that would hurt him even more. We all have this problem. We should not condemn someone where this problem breaks through, because it could break through in any one of us. We are not so strong. Once Prabhupada talked to one god brother who was preaching in Germany, Shivananda Prabhu. They were staying in some apartment. The temple was too small, so Prabhupada was hosted in a separate room. It was a Kardasi morning, and the Prabhupada came to the god brother, to my god brother Shivananda, and said, "Please pray for me." Imagine Prabhupada comes to you, "Please pray to me." Shivananda said, "Oh Prabhupada, I think it won't work." No, you are a devotee. Great devotees express this carefulness, this attention to this big problem which is in the heart, even of great yogis and jnanis who try to solve the problem. I was asked by a very intelligent old devotee when I came to Serbia. We were talking, and then the devotee said something. He first wanted to make sure that no one was around to hear his question. And then he very sincerely said, "Maharaj, do you think it's actually possible for anyone to change?" And please know, this was a wonderful devotee, very well engaged in Krishna service. It was not someone who did not know Prabhupada's books or who was not coming. He asked the question, "Do you think it is actually possible for someone to transform his nature?" And I said, there's a saying in the Indian folklore, it says, it's easier to move the Himalayas for just 1 meter than to change a person. If you want, I could get into this, and you would be very, very frustrated if you hear what C.G. Jung has to say about the forces of the subconscious mind and what is the experience of the Hare Krishna movement with these overwhelming forces. It is a good question. So I was asking this question, Giriraj Maharaj, who is a student of psychology also, who has studied and who is informed, who I consider a very intelligent devotee who can think on various levels when it comes to solve a problem. And he also knows psychology. And he said, "There is a way." And then he pointed me to the fourth verse of the Nectar of Instruction, where it says that it is possible to change when you have sangha with devotees and keep yourself in the association of devotees in a good service attitude. I would love to produce this quotation. Maybe Dira Prashanta, you are a man of computer, you can find it. Fourth verse of Nectar of Instruction. I love to give it to you, like Prabhupada says it. But the essence is, he quotes the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that desires appear by sangha, by associating with the objects of the senses, I think the verse goes, we develop desires for these. Huh? If, for instance, by contemplating the objects of the senses. If we would put now an ice cream here and I say, "Contemplate this, Prabhu," what would be nice to eat it, or not just look at it. It would come, a desire would come. Ananda Gopal, do you follow this? But yes, no, I mean the thought process. So Prabhupada quotes that same verse which Krishna says, by sangha or association with the objects of the senses and contemplating these, you develop desires for this. he says by having sangha with devotees, you develop also devotional desires. You think, I also want to do like this. And we saw that in a very simple way in yesterday's dvipnik, where our Igor had made a movie, and you could see some non-devotees were there with the kirtan was, and all of a sudden one lady was called Black Lake Lady. She started to move her hands, because this is happening. If you are in an association with someone who's very strong, and what they do, they must be strong. They can't be in two minds, but when they are strong, you feel, wow, I become like them. I also follow like this. That's why the pop stars have such huge influence on the generations of people, because they are very strong in their life culture, and then people look at them and have sangha association with them, and should they also desire like this. It's in the purport.
Okay.
You found it?
Not exactly. It's a long purport, I guess.
Yes, you have to read long. Mm-hmm. And then you will find it. I found it many times. I know it's there. So spiritual advancement, my dear devotees, a transformation of the heart is possible by association. And this verse which we... And then... picking up, not just standing there, but picking up what the devotees do and do like them. You get an impulse. In Sanskrit it is said, a matihi, an inner orientation, and then you want to do what the devotees do. It's a matihi, a very deep psychological force within you. This verse comes in an ancient narration. The Lord had appeared. If you find it, you can.
Yes. This was the first point. In the previous verse, Srila Rupa Goswami advised that one should renounce worldly association and keep company with the devotees. What is the next? Certainly, if you want to be the right.
Give me your machine. I will find it. I'm now incited. When you announce there is something and it's not getting up, then your ego gets disturbed. Can you make it a little smaller, please? I think it's here. I think you found the right area of the program.
Two points. You say that sangha and sangha is a phenomenon. One's desire to reach as well,
Can you give me your machine, please? This is a GBC machine. In the Bhagavad Gita, listen. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Sangat Sanjayate Kama. One's desires and ambitions develop according to the company one keeps. So you have one company, and then you develop certain desires and ambitions. It is often said that a man is known by his company. And if an ordinary man, that's us, or ordinary woman, associates with devotees, he will certainly develop his dormant Krishna consciousness. The understanding of Krishna consciousness is innate, in it means inside, in every living entity. And it is already developed to some extent. And then it continues. So thank you very much. Please give this to our So, this is a very important, it is a simple point, but you must keep association, and then you develop desires to come to Krishna. There is this narration. The Lord in the Bhagavad Gita had appeared in the sacrifice of King Prithu. It was a huge arena. It was constructed for this purpose. And then he had left it. But when he left, he said, Prithu, listen, soon you will meet the four Kumaras who will give you instructions how to attain me. The Lord didn't give the instructions himself. He said, you will have the Sangha, the company of saints, and in that company, something will happen to you. Soon thereafter, the four boy saints had descended from the sky. It must have looked very interesting. They looked like glowing suns, the Bhagavatam described. Then they came. Just imagine you are outside talking to your friends about some points, and you see all of a sudden from the sky, like glowing suns, the four great saintly people. That would be highly interesting. You would stop most probably your conversation if, Hare Krishna, and fold your hands and so on. So of course Prithu Maharaj, the king, and his ministers, when they saw the four Kumaras coming like traveling suns, got up from their seats and approached them. The Bhagavatam says, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted to the modes of nature. You know, this is an interesting example, you know, when you are maybe hungry and you go over the street and there is some nice maronis, you know, and vegetarian, it's alright to offer them to Krishna. You become drawn towards that maroni scent which smells so nice and so on. And this way you become drawn to the modes of nature. So when a saint comes, that's so attractive. We saw this with Prabhupada. We felt drawn to them, just like the servants to the maroni scents in the winter. We couldn't help. And then Prithu, he gives now an archetypical, this is like something for us to emulate, to follow. He says what we should do when we meet saints. Prithu asked them, how can I attain relief from the pangs of material existence and attain the goal of life? Srila Prabhupada comments, whenever one meets a saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. You should say, oh my Kundalini, you just came from Mayapur. Please help me to overcome the pangs of being material consciousness. Help me. Oh Pankajangi Prabhu, you are a great soul and under your arm you carry the Bhagavatam wherever you go. Please tell me. Oh Prahladananda Maharaj, please, you are very blissful in Kirtan. Please tell me your secret. I need to learn. I'm an ordinary soul suffering. This is how we approach devotees. Not that, did you hear what Rishabha said? No, tell me. Did you hear in Zagreb about the temple situation? No, tell me, please. No, there are better subjects to gain relief from material existence. This is I think it is clear to you, and you are also following this. I'm just making it. I'm sorry. Yeah. See, the life and soul of such saints is to speak about the Supreme Lord. That they want to talk, these saintly people. Don't think you are disturbing them when you ask them a spiritual question. They are just ready to share their knowledge with you. Do you remember when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a throat problem? He could not speak, and the doctor told him he must now stop speaking. There are problems. You are young people, you don't know, but there is a throat problem, which when you continue to speak, you ruin your throat for the rest of your life. There is a very hard conditioning. It did happen to devotees, all the devotees, and you have to be silent. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, these doctors are killing me. I have to speak about Krishna. That's why I'm in this world. And he, of course, could not stop. He may even have wanted. It's not that he has a problem with fanaticism or irrational things, you know, in the mind. Is immature and he cannot understand. It's necessary now to stop. Yeah, very supremely intelligent. But the desire is just so strong. It's like breathing. You can't stop breathing. So a saint, a person, wants to speak about Krishna. It's what he wants. You don't have to give him money or position to do that. You have to just ask him sincerely from your heart, not formally, but sincerely. What to do? Tell me. How can this work? So Preeta Maharaj then asked a question. He asked, how can I gain relief from material existence and attain the goal of my life? In essence, if we want to have it simple to remember things, how can I make fast advancement, Prabhu? You know, this is the question. How do I give up my material attachments which keep me in this world, and how do I make advancement to the goal and become Krishna conscious? So when Sanat Kumar heard this question by dear devotees, he didn't speak. He didn't speak on this question. He first of all glorified the question. Wow! He didn't say it. It's American hippie language. This is a good question. And then he explained, this question is beneficial for all people. It is beneficial. It is good, not only for you. It is for all people. And then he started to explain that all scriptures constantly speak about two points. Do you know? For sure you know. It is how to develop detachment from Maya and how to develop attachment Sakrishna, you know, for Krishna. And there was a long discussion, but I will make it short here, because when we hear too many points, we forget the main point. The essence, Prabhupada, I have a quote from Prabhupada. The conclusion after, you know, many verses is that you need to develop a desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is how you subdue or conquer all desires for sense gratification. My dear devotees, and to develop this desire for devotional service, real devotional service, you just need the association of devotees. It springs from their heart. There was once a great devotee, Kanchi Purna. He was very advanced, so advanced that he could speak personally with the Lord. Because he was born in a Shudra community, the Brahmanas did not engage him in puja, where you need to recite and do many things. But they all acknowledged his greatness and invited him on the altar or before the altar, where he would regularly fan the Lord. The Lord of Kanchipuram is called, who knows? Vararaj, thank you. Vararaj, the king of giving blessings. At Kanchipuram, there was an arrangement, I thought, in Vrindavan you have maybe seen also, in Mayapur I've seen often, there is a thing like this, and you pull a rope, and then it goes. Have you seen, do you know? You go. I mean, if you don't, you can chant mantra, that's better, you know. And while he was doing this seva, he talked to Vararaj. How did you sleep today? Vararaj would talk very confidentially. Not so good, there was a rat in the altar. Tell them to get it out. Okay. Did you like the sabjis? Yes, it was a little hot, but good, you know, maybe not every day, but good. So they would talk like friends in Sakya Raj, very confidential, very naturally they would talk. This was known. So one time, an older devotee who was infirm means he was shaking with old age, and it was clear he had only a few years to live. He came to Kanchipuram and said, can you ask the Lord if I will go back to Godhead when I'm giving this up, this body? Okay, said Kanchipuram. So next time he was there with this fan saver, he said, there is this old devotee. Yes, so and so is his name. Yes, I know. He is asking you the question if he will go back to Godhead after this life. Vararaj said, tell him yes, 100%. So Kanchipuram said this, and the next day he came back. The Vaishnava was dancing. Very good. Next day he came back and he didn't say anything. Vararaj said, you freely speak. Something is in your mind. I'm feeling a little shy. I cannot speak. No, we know each other. You speak. Maybe tomorrow I will speak. So the next morning, Kanchipuram came back. And he didn't want to speak. But then Vararaj said, you speak. Ritzi. So Kanchipuram said, my Lord, what is with me? Will I also go back to Godhead? No. Kanchipuram, you cannot go back to Godhead because you cannot serve devotees. You are yourself so exalted that whenever you come and you want to offer some service to devotees, the devotees run away from you and say, you ruined my life. I can't take service. I want to serve you. Those of you who are older devotees, do you know this problem also? You come and you want to do something. No, I'm carrying your things. Let me carry at least my things, please. And then I wash your clothes. I wash the service. And if you want to do service, no. And they even fear it is offensive when they take service from you. Some of you are older devotees. You know this problem. It is there. It is also there. Only someone who serves my devotee can come back to me. This is the arrangement I have made. There are many statements in the Shastras, for instance, a very important verse which is quoted by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Those who serve Krishna directly, it's questionable if they please Krishna. You don't know. They serve Krishna, but do they really please him? But those who serve the devotees of Krishna, there's no question that they please Krishna. In the Adi Puranas, most of you know, Krishna says to Arjuna, he who says he's directly my devotee is not my devotee, but he who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he's my devotee. You must have heard this verse. Yes, yes. The next day, Kanchipuna was missing. No one knew where he was. After 1 week, he was still missing. The Vaishnavas became worried. They started to bring search commandos to see. Maybe some snake had bitten him and he had died. But no one, even after a few months, could find Kanchipuna. What had happened? Kanchipuna had left the town of Varadaraj. He had walked for as far as his feet could carry him. Then he had continued the next way. He walked and walked away from Varadaraj, away from all this. He walked. And halfway, he took his sannyas clothes, put it in a bundle, and dressed in the dress of a grihastha. Then he continued. He had only one thought in his mind. He went to one devotee, I believe Mahapunam, but I can't remember 100%. And he said, I am very expert in cows, cow herding, and you have cows. Let me take care of your cows. I am very sad at this stage of my life. I do not want to live with anyone. I live with the cows. I stay with the cows. And I will. You don't need to give me something to eat. I will drink a little milk from the cows. But, and the devotee thought, well, if he's a distressed man and he wants to take care of the cows and live like this, let him do so. This way, Kanchipunam was serving Mahapunam every day by taking care of the cows. One day the monsoon came. Monsoon is something like this. It was really the monsoon. And Kanchipunam was there in his dress and taking care of the cows. And when he came back, he was soaked. And you cannot stay in wet clothes, you get a coat. So he was staying with the cows and he was undressing from his wife's dress and he was dressing in his own dress. And he was there, then he was there and with the cows and he was chanting, Varadaraj, 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 I'm missing you. I'm missing your talks and how you look at me and your words. Oh, Varadaraj, why did you have to tell me? Why was I so foolish to ask you? I'm missing your service so much. So, and he was praying and singing. So Mahapunam thought, there was monsoon. Maybe my coward boy needs dry clothes. And he wanted to go into where the cows were, but he knew this he was special. He never shows me his face. He always speaks like this to me. So Mahapunam came from outside, looked through the window, and he heard, oh my God, oh Govinda. He heard Kanchipunam in the mood of deep pangs of separation. Touched his heart like electricity. Who is this person? And he went around the coward boy and looked. And he looked for the first time in the face of his coward boy. Was streaming with tears. Mahabhagavat. And then it became clear to him and he shouted, oh no! You're killing me! He opened the door. Kanchipunam, is it you? No.
No. No. Not here.
Kanchipunam, you are the greatest of all devotees. I meant to serve you. Please, you take my house and I become your cowherd boy. No. Kanchipura had a big thing in his heart, an issue. A deep issue was down there, an issue. And he needed to go to one person, and one person only. He said, I will leave you from today. And he went back. Do you know where he went? Vairaraj, you know everything. He walked for a long time, and then finally he arrived in the town of Kanchipuram. His name is Kanchipuram, and the town is called Kanchipuram. And he went to Varada. Varada said, oh, here comes the Kanchipuram. I was so much missing you. How could you do this? He's crying. My Lord, I just want to serve you. I don't care if I go back to Godhead or not. I just want to serve you. I'm back. Here's your holy Kanchipuram. Would you please allow me to just pen? Forget my complicated mind. I should not have asked you this foolish question. You have now served a devotee. You have served Mahapuram. Now you will go back to God. This is an ancient story. It has weight. It tells us that, yes, if we do slujpa, sa vaishnava, or something like that. Maybe serve in the association of devotees. And Matsita Matgata Prana, Krishna describes what devotees do. They do what we try to do here. Speak about Krishna.
Bhagavad Gita verse,
I thought it was here. He was a Bhagavad Gita. Can you just find Matsita Bhakti Grata, Mashita Bhakti Prana, then good. 10.9 Bhakti Grata. We have, I don't know if you know, amongst the many qualities of His Holiness Prahlada Maharaj, he is a walking encyclopedia. He remembers everything, and where it is. This is what devotees do. The thoughts, machita mangata prana, bodayanta parasparam, katayanta shamangityam, toshanti charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. They think in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always talking with one another and conversing about me. Always enlightening one another. Would you like to hear it again?
Yes.
It gives us a little what we can do. The thoughts of my, it says, my pure devotees dwell in me. Don't think I'm not a pure devotee, so I don't have to think of Krishna. It's anyone can do Uttama Bhakti if he does this process here for Krishna, engages body, mind, and speech for the pleasure of Krishna, to give him pleasure. So you think of Krishna 1 minute a day, 2 minutes a day. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. You have some service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss. That is the disco, you know. Great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about. That's where they get the pleasure. So my dear devotees, I want to now give a practical solution to all of this. In Serbia and in the Balkans, we don't have, especially in Serbia, regularly operating temple programs. And also now in all over the Balkans, we could not keep sometimes our difficult Balkan mentality away from the association of devotees, and we suffer sometimes from unrest and dissatisfaction amongst the devotees. The great suffering is there. But there is a very great program which I want to suggest to you. you can actually experience the power of overcoming your material desires and developing spiritual desires if you meet together regularly amongst devotees. You have to find those devotees who are interested in this program. First, you will have to look amongst the younger devotees, and then you talk about Krishna with them and talk about and do kirtans. And then the older devotees will think, wow, it works, and they will also come. This is the way, practically speaking, which I have experienced with programs. So you have to do this. You have to get together with like-minded devotees. You have to start singing kirtan with them. You have to maybe learn harmonium and kartals and vedangas. You have to do what this Bhakti Sangha or Bhakti Briksha program is. Very, very easy. And in the association, you will feel how your heart gets touched and how you can make practical advancement. Krishna. Now, if you would ask the question, Sachinanda Swami, are you convinced of what you just said? You just said it is possible to change a person if he has good association and engages in devotional service. Do you think, within your experience, it is not? You are very analytical. You have your nose in everything, although you pretend you don't see anything. What is, my dear devotees, I am convinced of this, really. I'm talking truthfully to you. It is my experience myself. I will tell you something very personal. I was in the Ratha Yatra, and I was in the association of devotees, and I do have at the moment a problem with the body, which, you know, gives me a lot of... it's not pleasant, let me say like this. So I was suffering, and I was there, and I was thinking, oh no, nothing is working. The sound is not there. Look, hear the sound. It's a sound like 50 years ago. they don't know the instruments to accompany the kirtan. Look, no one is paying attention. They all look into the shopping windows. You know me, I'm a little critical. My Germans are like this, what to do? How will this work? And then, look at this. We are dancing now, there's loud music. What should any person with culture think? That it's so loud, one can almost not hear anything. And here the Hare Krishnas are... You know, and I was so critical. But then I said, enough of this. This is not Sadhu Sangha, what you do. You're supposed to be an older devotee. Now see the good. Then the first thing is, I noted a devotee singing kirtan, and he was actually smiling and he was blissful. I thought, wow, let me check if this is real or if he pretends. And it was real. Wow. Something is working, at least for someone here. Then I started to consciously work to lift my consciousness from the material consciousness, which would only see things on the material level, and see, oh, look at the nice melodies. Look at the devotees that are dancing so nicely. Why do you not also dance? What's wrong with you? You're kami. So I said, let me also dance. I know some dance steps I will also do like them. And I could feel the moment I made the conscious decision to come away from the material platform and enter the spiritual platform, it worked. And yesterday we felt confirmation in the Dvivnik. When the Dvivnik was there, you could see the people had such good comments. Did you notice?
Yes.
Everyone just had only the best things to say. I like this different culture. Wow, and ooh, and yoo-hoo, and good, and, you know. And even the Novi Sad TV, you know, made a good Novi Sad TV show about it. Now, I could take my material intelligence and go, yeah, ego had to work very hard to catch a few good comments. 90% were other comments. I saw that. Or I could say, the Novi Sad TV cannot afford to put a discriminatory thing about the Hare Krishna. They will be criticized because they want to join the Euro currency. I could work with my intelligence like this, but I don't want to do this because then I suffer. I want to give up the pains of material existence, and I want to know the goal of my life. This teacher, what do you want? Do you want your material criticism to go on and stay in the material world? Or would you like to just be blissful and so on? You have to make the decision. And when it comes to, now you can talk politics, now you can go against him, now you can also talk bad things. You have to make a decision. Can we please see this from another perspective? Can we see that everyone is trying his best and that we may have to give everyone his area where they can do service? You know, can we be helpful and constructive and not be critical and so on? Is that possible for us? Or are we already too black in our mind? Now this decision needs to be done. And when you come to the crossroads in your life, where you can either go into your material miseries and continue your material existence, or become a blissful devotee who dances in Ratha Yatra and who feels, wow, and our sound. And you can find a quotation for everything. When you listen to, anyways, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we should drown the material sound vibration by our kirtan. So that's what we're trying to do. We try to drown Bayega, who is the amplification system. Bayega. Krishna. So I've come to the end of my class. I'm 10 minutes over time. I do realize that this is that there could be a point in the lecture which is thought-provoking to you. So please, if you have a question, reserve the question. Can you do that? Can you remember it in a few hours also? Good. And then you can ask it in the next session which we have together. I want to end here because we need to respect the flow of the summer camp and how everything is. I want to ask Madhava Muni to give us an orientation. Thank you very much for listening, and Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.